Everyone, welcome to the Shir Maseches Megillah. We're holding at the very bottom of Chaf Dalam and Beis, and the Mishnah there says as follows: Ha'omer, one who says, person davening from the Amid, Yivaruchu Tovim, good people should bless you, Hashem. Harizaderech Aminus, that is considered a way of heresy. Rashi explains, based on the limud that Chazal have from the Chelbana, a foul-smelling ingredient in the Ketores, we learn out that you have to include Rishayim as part of Klal Yisrael, and this person is saying only good people should bless you is implying that not those who are not keeping mitzvahs. That's incorrect. If a person says Al Kan Tzibur Yigira Chamecho, that your mercy has come to the nest of the birds, meaning referring to Shluach HaKein, a person has a mitzvah lechara to show mercy upon the mother bird. And the person says that he's defining that's what mitzvah is. V'atovi zacha shemecha, the person says, your name should be ordered for good, meaning not bad. Modi, modi, where he says, thank you, twice, mishatkin oso, all these two things, you silence him. The first thing sounds like he's defining mitzvahs as a particular purpose, and in the end, they're just gezeiros, so Gemara will tell us that. He says, you should remember for good implies you can't remember Hashem for bad, but we know Hashem, the person has to bless Hashem for the bad, that's Taina Emes, the same way he does for the good. And Modi Modim sounds like there's two gods, God forbid. So in all these things, you silence such a person. Hamechana Ba'arayus, one who literally nicknames or gives a euphemism, a non-correct definition for the Parsha of Arayus, Mishatkin Oso, you also silence him. We'll see what that is in the Gemara Labyrinth. This person is giving a different shot in the Parsha of Arayus than is really a shot. But Omer, one who says that the pasuk of the Avera of giving over one's children to the priest of Molech, who would lead the child between two fires, it's a machlok, it's actually, if he would actually burn, just seemingly there was a ritual to lead him between two fires. So the pasuk says, and he darshans it, and he says it means, a person should not impregnate an Aramean woman. You silence him in Nezifa means in some sort of very strict way, with condemnation, they transfer. Okay, so that also, because the previous two things he's saying, a pshat is not correct. We'll see exactly what the difference is. But that's basically the pshat. He's taking the psukim out of what they seemingly should mean, the simple meaning. That's the problem. Okay, so says the Gemara, B'shlama modim modim, I understand why you can't say thank you, thank you. It looks like he's davening to two separate gods. And the second thing in the Mishnah, saying to Hashem, you should be remembered for good. Nami, also the mashma al-tuv in Valra, lo, it's mashma that Hashem should only be remembered for the good that we have, not the seemingly bad. But Tanan, the Mishnah tells us, a person is obligated to bless Hashem for that which appears negative, the same way he is for that which is positive. What is the problem with saying that Hashem, your mercy is clearly on the mother bird? So pligi ba tre amiru, right? The Bach gives over here, it should say my time at first, but then it would say my time alo, why not? So we say pligi ba tre amiru. Two amiraim argued the Ma'arava in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yossi bar Avin, Rabbi Yossi bar Zvida. Chal Amar one says, Menesha matal kina b'maisa bereshis. The reason is that you're putting jealousy in maisa bereshis, meaning to say that you're defining like Hashem's behavior with certain species of animals is different with others. And that could make, like if Hashem is taking mercy on the birds and not on the regular land animals, so that could cause some sort of jealousy, cause some sort of misrepresentation of Hashem's behavior with different things in the Bria, and that is not appropriate. The Chon Omer once says the other reason, which is a more simple reason than Mishnah, that Nesha Osim Yidosev Shel Kodesh Baruch L'Rachamin. He's making the midos of Hashem, the behaviors that we see that he does through the mitzvahs, that they're expression of mercy. Ve'en el gezeiros, mitzvahs are decrees. You can't say that's the reason. You can say it's a reason, but to say that is why Hashem did it, that's clearly we're saying that at the end of the day, the mitzvahs are gezeiros. Ahud denachis kameid the rabba. A person went down in front of rabba, meaning he was davening from the Amid, and rabba was there. Amar ata chasal kan sipor, ata chus rachay melenu. And the person was doing this. He was saying, you who had mercy, compassion, on the nest of the bird, so you should have compassion and be merciful to us. As a girsi here, that's probably taken out. Just read out the chasal also v'asmano. You had compassion for literally it and its son. That refers to the avera of shechting an animal and that animal's child on the same day. So seemingly, it's an expression of mercy. Ata chus ra'achim. Again, have mercy on us.
Amar Rabba, Rabba said, Kama yoda haimi rabbana li ritsui amari. Wow. This Talmud Chacham knows how to dive into his master. Amar Abaye, Abaye said to him, Baham shatkin oso tanan. The mission says explicitly, it's not good. You have to silence such a person. Barabba lechdudi lebaye hu daba. The Gemara says, clarifies that Rabban, you know that, it knew that he was making this comment to test Abaye, to sharpen him, to see if he would point out that the behavior is actually problematic with our Mishnah, and Abaye indeed passed the test. Says Gemara, who the nachis kamei the Rebbe Chanina? Person davening in front of Rebbe Chanina, Amar, he said, Akel hagadol hagibor v'hanoro, that's what we say, and then he added, ha'adir v'ha'chozok v'ha'amit, he added more and more praises of Hashem. Amar lei, tim tinhu l'shifchei demarach, have you now finished the praises of your master? By adding these three words, adir and chozok amit, kind of all means strong, powerful. Have you finished praising now that you've added those three words? Hashta hani tosa. Behold, these three things that Hagodol Gibor Vanoro, Ilav because Finu Moshe Be'araisa, had it not been that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it in the Torah, Va'asu Knesset Hagadola V'Tekninu, and the Hashi Knesset Hagadola came, and they were Misakin as part of Shema Esrei. Yeah, Anam Lo Amrinu Luhu, we wouldn't say it if not for that. Va'atam Arz Kulei Hai, and you said so many more. Mashal la'adam sha'ilo elef alfei alafim dinari zav. The mashal would be to a person that has a thousand of thousands of thousands of gold coins. I think a thousand, a thousand, a thousand would be a billion. But I mean very many gold coins. B'hayam b'kalsano, so people were praising him like this, that he has dinari kesef. He has gold and he has silver coins. The elf dinari kesef, maybe the girsh is, whatever would be, even the same amount. Lo ganayulo, isn't that a disgrace to the person? You're clearly saying something far less than the greatness that they have. We can't keep praising Hashem. We never really can say what he has. We only have the ability and the allowance to say the praises that Moshe Rabbeinu himself wrote and the Anshe Knesset Gadolah put into the Shmoneh Esrei. Amar Rabbi Chanina, Hakol Bidei Shemayim Mechutz Mir Shemayim. This is quite a famous Gemara, a big sugya. Everything is in the hands of heaven except for the fear of heaven. A simple way to learn over here seemingly is that a person is born with certain strengths and weaknesses, brains, less brains, strength, physical strength, etc., but his level of Yerushalayim, whether it be a tzaddik of or a rasha, is not at all decreed. That is what seemingly Rashi and Tosfos learn over here. Tosfos does bring, there's another Gemara that says, Kol Yerushalayim b'chutz mitzinim v'pachim, everything is in the hands of heaven except for cold and heat. And Tosfos seems to say that a person, seemingly the idea is that a person has the ability to protect himself from the elements, and that is in his hands as well. So, meaning to say, he learns it as a person in his house in a protected state. Certainly, he can avoid becoming sick there. This obviously will lead to a very big discussion philosophically, where it is that a person has control over his circumstance or not, which is not obviously large in the scope of this year. But a good place to start to look would be over here in Estosis and the sources that he brings. Okay, but the Gemara makes a famous statement. In any event, Hakol b'Yishmaim b'chutz m'Yishmaim shenemar va'ato yisro mo Hashem alkecha shom yimoch. Because the pasuk says famously that Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking in Hashem, he says, "Now you, the Jewish people, what does Hashem ask of you? Ki im yira, only to fear Him." Really, the pasuk goes on and lists many things, but seemingly the dogish is on the first thing. You should only fear Hashem. The quality yira milsa zuchasi, is that to imply that yira is a small thing? To say in legavi Moshe Rabbeinu milsa zuchasi, by Moshe Rabbeinu that was a small thing. There was something that was appropriate from his point of view to say, "What does Hashem want from you? Just to fear Him." Mashal la'adim shavak shehimenu kli gadol v'yeshlo. It can be compared to a person that is requested from him a large vessel, and he has that large vessel. Domei lof kli cotton. By him, that's a small thing then. Cotton ve'enlo, if it was asked from him a small vessel, and he did not have, domei lof kli gadol, that would seem like a very big deal to him, a very large kli. To see him over here, Moshe Rabbeinu, asking him like this, not something we're necessarily supposed to be expected to be on a level of, by us here, Shemayim definitely is a very large thing, and a very intricate thing, and something that has to study, like the Mitzvot Hashem holds. It says that the Yir Shemayim is the only thing properly called the Chachma, and it's something that you have to continually study and learn about. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Ha'omer Shema Shema, Ha'omer Modi Modi. One who says Shema twice, the pasuk of Shema seemingly twice, is improper as one who says Modim twice. It also is implying two Rishus, Jay Rishus Chas Shom. Dami, he's like Ha'omer Modi Modi Dami. One who says Meisei Kariyah Shema V'Kofel Harizem Meguna. As the Braisa says, one who reads Shema and then doubles it over is disgusting, is disgraceful. So Gemara says, Megunahu Dahavi, granted he is disgraceful, Shetuke lo mishatkinem, we don't silence him. If you're comparing it to Modim Modim, there the Mishnah said, you silence the person. What we're seeing repeating Shema is not something you silence the person for, it's just disgraceful. Right? Shetuke lo mishatkinem, we don't silence him. We say, lo kasha. Hadamer milsa milsa. Here's when you say one word at a time. One word at a time is miguna. Yeah, it's doesn't look nice. It doesn't sound good. Shema, Shema, Hashem, Hashem, etc. Each word of Shema, so that is disgraceful. Hadamer psuka psuka letani lo. Here, if you say a full pasuk Shema Yisrael and then repeat it, right? So that looks like accepting upon oneself the control of two separate gods. Chas v'shalom. That's what Rashi learns over here. There are people who take a different approach to it. That's what Rashi learns. Yeah. So again, Lakasha Hadamer Milsa Milsa. Here's what he's saying: one word at a time. That's disgraceful. Latani law. Then he repeats it. Hadamer Psuko Suko Latani law. Here's where it says a pasuk and then repeats. Amalei Papa Leravo. The Dumi Mikar Lo Kivein Daite. How do you know just saying this pasuk of Shema Yisrael again is like two Rishis? Maybe he just didn't have good intention the first time, so he said it again. Now he's having good. Come on. Amar Lehi said back to him, Chavrusa Kla B'Shemaya, right? Why you treat Hashem as if he's like a friend, and you treat him with a certain amount of lightheadedness, not seriousness. Ilo Mechavin Daite, if he doesn't have intention the first time, Mechina Lehi, Ba'arzav Kata, Azavta Denavcha, Azim Mechavin Daite, I would hit him with the tool of a blacksmith until he will intend properly. Yeah? Meaning, it's kind of weird. I didn't answer the question how you know they didn't have Kavanah, but seemingly he found it incredulous to believe Bechlal that anyone could not have Kavanah in the first part of the Shema Yisrael. So he's going to use a blacksmith's hammer to hit him until he has Kavanah. Yeah, but it can't be, seemingly he's saying. Yeah, you assume if he's repeating it twice, he didn't see it's possible that he couldn't have Kavanah the first time. It must be being Mechavin, or it sounds like it's being Mechavin for two Rishuyas. Interesting answer. Yeah. So the Mishnah said, the one who nicknames literally the illicit relations of the Torah, we silence him. Tanar of Yosef, Rav Yosef, elaborate, what does it mean? Kolon aviv klon imo. He darshans it as not really referring to an iser of any relationship between one's family, mother, father, sister, etc. It refers to embarrassing them. And that is also not good, but the person is trying clearly to mater arayas, trying to say the Torah never said anything about a physical arayas, and that's certainly not true. The Mishnah then said, one who says that the parsha of the avera of giving one's children over to the priests of Molech to do their avodah zara ritual with them is not about that. It's about, the Mishnah is about to say. The Mishnah said it means impregnating an Aramean woman. So the Gemara elaborates on that a little more. It says, Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, the Yisrael Baal Kusis. The person is saying that this pasuk is talking about a regular Jew that is with a Kusis. That's a non-Jewish woman. And then gives birth through her a son to be used for avodah zarah. That's what the pasuk is talking about. Now that again is also an aveir. Many probably. But the pasuk is telling a separate thing. You cannot give over your actual son, full Jewish son, to be involved in the molech ritual. Yeah, it's interesting why a person would be motivated to darshan it that way. What does he have to gain out of it? Maybe it's just the way he sees it. But either way, it's not correct. And he's taking the pasuk clearly out of its pashup shot in both these cases. Says the next mission. Maisa Ruvain Nikra Vlamatargan. The Maisa of Ruvain, where the way the Chumash says it is that he had laid with his Yaakov's wife, which is not what Chazal say actually happened. He actually moved Yaakov's bed into the tent of his mother, right? So either way, it's read, and it's not translated out loud to the tzibur. We're worried about it being a ganai, looking a ganai to Ruvain, thinking it's worse than it actually did, and therefore we don't metargim it. Yeah, that's what we hold. Maisa Tamar Nikra Umetargim. The Maisa of Tamar in Chumash is read, and it's translated. Now, maybe we'll see why that is different, but Rashi here doesn't elaborate. Perhaps the Gemara will. But we could say our own svara right now that Yehuda himself, in that Maisa, was willing to have his disgrace exposed to save Tamar, so it doesn't make sense that we should hide it more than he did. But Ruvain, Dafka the Chumash, made a point of kind of pointing out how bad what he did was and saying it was worse than what he did. So and to read it correctly and translate it, it literally would be actually showing it worse than what he did. So maybe we can understand that would not be appropriate from our end. Then it says, Maisa Egel Harishon, the first part of the Maisa the Egel Azov, which is when the people made it, not when Aaron recanted it over to Moshe Rabbeinu what had happened. So that part can be Nikru Matag. That you could read and translate.
Vashani, the second part, which was when Aaron Cohen told it over to Moshe Rabbeinu, Nikar v'lamatagin, that cannot be translated. The reason over there, Rashi elaborates, is that it seems as if the Egel Azov person could think from that part of the story that the Egel Azov had some actual power. Because it says that he threw it into the fire and it came out this, this Egel. So a person can mistakenly think it had something to it. And obviously it didn't. And again, all these things not translating it is to protect the tzibur from mistaken pshat. If we're not going to translate it, we'll leave it up to them to either understand the psukim or, get their own pshat in it, but we're not going to put forward the pshat that they may be misled by. It says, Birkos Kohanim, Maisa David va'amnon, Nikraim v'lo mitargimin. Birkos Kohanim, something that's read but not translated. So to the Maisa of Tamar and Amnon in Sefer Shmuel Beis, where Tamar had been violated, it seemed very bad for Amnon, is, you were saying, is probably the gears here from the Bach, is Lo Nikraim v'lo mitargimin, not read nor translated. Now, Birkos Kohanim, that's going to be a bit of Pella if that's here. It could be also from the Bach. You see that it's taken out. I'm not sure. There's a Bach over here on it. But if it would be that it's not translated, we would have to understand why. The Gemara will talk about it. So without the Bach's correction, if he is correcting it, we are going to discuss it in the Gemara. Then it says, we'll continue. So the reason you're not going to translate the Maisa Tamar and Amnon again is it paints Amnon, and Amnon gets killed from the whole thing, but it paints everybody kind of a bad light. It's a difficult parsha to understand, and we're not going to stop and let people see that. Loni Kron Le Targumin, it means it can never be read as a Haftarah. Aim Haftar and Merkava, you can't, as a Haftarah, have the Maisa Merkava in Yechezkel, which is heavily Kabbalistic. Rabbi Yehuda Matar, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't allow that. Rabbi Elezer Omer, Aim Haftar and Behodas Yushalayim. You cannot have as a Haftarah the Psukim in Yechezkel about let Yerushalayim know ... It speaks about Yerushalayim in a way that mentions a lot of affairs that are going on in Yerushalayim. It could be misconstrued as very quite negative about